Would you mind to... I hope that you can... Maybe I'm going to ask people from this side to read these lines. And then the next slide, these people are going to read it. And then the third slide, these people are going to read it. And all of you are going to read the four slides together. Would that be okay?
Yeah.
Okay. One, two, three, start. Maybe we stop from here. In this part of the passage, a lot of people may ask, who is that servant? A lot of people say, yes, Jesus is the servant. That is very true. He came to this world, give us a way so that we can become the Son of God, the children of God. And one thing you see in the passage is God picks and prepares his servant. And his servant's mission and power. And also, who is the servant? Yes, Jesus is the servant inside this passage. But also, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I'm sending you." I'm not just sending Frankie and Cindy. I'm sending you. And also, very truly, I tell you, who believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I'm going to the Father. Greater things. Greater things. He called every one of you to do greater things. Maybe some people say, yeah, Frankie and Cindy, you've been outside. You've been called by God. You've been into a Muslim world to share the gospel among the Muslim people. But the more we went, the more we go, we felt that this is the Lord who prepares us, who picks us. And then we can enable us, empower us to serve him. Now I'm going to ask Cindy to share about our missionary journey. I hope that it will inspire you, how he called us. Because I always see, We are just like coals, gem, throwing out. But actually, every one of you can be an effective servant of the Lord.
Hello, everyone. You can hear me, right? I can hear me. As just been mentioned, my name is Cindy. I think I'll start again. Bert had asked some very good questions, but I've refrained answering them. Otherwise, I wouldn't have anything to say now. He has touched on a lot of good questions, which I would say I'll answer some of them now here. Well, I'm here to share with you all a bit about our journey, our mission journey with God. To start with, let me tell you something about myself. Well, I'm a wife to one husband and a mother to two kids. Here we are. Well, next to me is Frankie. This is actually our most recent photo. And next to Frankie is Priscilla. I think she's okay for me to tell you how old she is. She's 18 going on 19. And Joshua is 15 going on 16. So for those who've seen them and known them, they've changed quite a bit. Joshua is the tallest guy in our house now, and Priscilla is the shortest one. So as a brother, he always liked to say, oh, I love Priscilla. Not quite. Well, I managed to summarize my introduction when people ask me, where are you from, to one sentence. I was born in Hong Kong and born again in the UK. For those of you who do you know the terms third culture kids? Who are probably a lot of you are. You were born here, but your parents may be from either another part of the world. When people ask you that very simple question, where are you from? To me, it's a very complex question to answer. So I've summarized it in one very short sentence. Born in Hong Kong, but born again in the UK. Well, I came to Christ in university. Well, a long time ago. I'm not going to tell you when. And as I look back, it was shortly after my conversion when my mission journey began. Looking back, retrospect is always a very wise thing. So let me just share with you a bit of my journey. And there's nothing there on purpose so that you can listen to me and not look at the photos. Well, my first call to mission was only 9 months after I surrendered my life to God. As a new Christian, I started attending to this church in Cardiff, and it was during an OMF mission evening when James Hudson Taylor preached. God challenged me to mission in the meeting, and it was a personal call. I can't recall what he said, but what I can remember was me and a few more brothers and sisters were presenting as a Chinese church a song in the meeting. And the song was Shine, Jesus, Shine. And I really felt that the Lord was challenging me. I believe there's at least another sister among us who were really challenged during that meeting. But it's a personal call. Since then, the Lord has been patiently preparing me for cross-cultural mission. To start with, God gave me a burden to pray for the lost in the world. I have here with me, and also that's one more I noticed over in the book table, Operation World. It is the definitive prayer guide to every nation. Anyone seen this or own one of this? One hand? Two? Well, have a look after this session. There's only one, so don't fight over it. It's one of the best resource that one could have. And if you find it helpful, don't just leave it as such. Although we've only got one, give us the name. Frankie will sort something out. Yeah, well, that he said. But there's a lot of resources in there. And if you have, well, I believe every one of you have a phone, you can actually get a free app. And it's really resourceful. So there's something not to miss, Operation World. But anyway, back to where I was. God gave me this burden to pray for the lost. He also directed me to pray regularly with my church advisor. Her name is Annette Harris. She was a retired missionary. In order to confirm my calling and seek God's guidance in early days. Why I mention that is it's important right at the beginning that you linked with someone in the church. Even if you felt, oh yeah, this is my personal call, the church is your first port of call. Speak to someone, a mature Christian, to share your burden and pray to confirm. Well, as a young believer, I continued to learn and grow in the Lord through the study of God's word, through prayers and serving in the church. So for some of you, you may think, well, I'm only a young believer. I don't know much. I can't do much. But all of what you are involved here in the church is part and could be that part of journey. And it was through knowing, being, and doing that God equipped me for his future work. Just as I mentioned about the study of his word, there are three passages that stood out to me. Let's have a look at each one of them. Now, the first one is from the Old Testament, Genesis 12, 1 to 3. Well, maybe I'll ask this side to read. Could you just read, all of you, all together, this passage for me, well, for us? Right, thank you. I hope you've noticed there's a lot of blessing, blessed. Just remember those few words. The next one, if this middle section can just read it out loud, please.
Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you.
I hope a few words stand out. Go. To all nations, obey. Right, this side, could you read this one? Acts 1:8.
But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes to you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth.
Yes, you will be my witnesses to the ends of the earth. Right, these three verses, they are all God's commands to us, to all of us. You can find them in the Bible if you don't believe me. They are all written down there for a reason. It's not just to a specific few, but to all of us. Also in John 14:15, I haven't got it out here, Jesus said, if you love me, you will obey my commands. Well, there they are. There's three commands that really stood out to me. I remember one of my friends said, I think nowadays people in the church needs a calling to stay rather than to go. Because clearly it's stated in the Bible. And God said, if you love me, you obey my commands. And especially some of the commands, like the one in Genesis 12 you just read, is a command with a promise. God said, I will show you the land that I want you to go, but by going, I will bless you so that you will be a blessing to others. Well, as I look back on my journey so far, I record a few questions that went through my head. Well, I just put them under the 5W1H. 5, why, when, what, where, who, and 1, how. Right, the first question I asked myself was, why me? Who am I? What can I do? Well, God said so. So I'm one of his children. Therefore, don't look at myself. Look at what God asked. As Hudson Taylor mentioned, the Great Commission is not an option to be considered. It is a command to be obeyed. So it's not who we are, but who God is and what he has told us. And I think out of those three passages, I'm sure there's more, is very clear. It has answered, why me? Because God has spoken. And as a believer, that's his command. And therefore, it's just logical to just obey them. The next question I asked was, who? Who am I? What can I do? Like Moses. Remember Moses? In the Bible, God asked him to do this and do that. He gave all the excuses that he can think of. I think I wasn't far off then. Well, who am I? What can I do? Again, Hudson Taylor said, all God's giants are weak men who did great things for God because they reckoned that God was with them. It's not who we are. I think the question is, who is God? We are weak. The first thing I felt was fear. And fear is actually very real. But God already knows that. That's why he gave us a lot of promises besides commands in the Bible. He says in Deuteronomy, the Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. In Joshua 1, he says, 1:9, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. God already knows how weak we are. But do we not know how strong God is? I think that's a question to ask. Not who are we, but who is God? As part of the confirmation of my calling, the Lord has also prepared Frankie, who also was called to cross-cultural mission as part of his plan. God is sovereign, period. There's nothing to add to that. God may cause some of you to go as single. God may cause some of you to go as single and then prepare your spouse for you out there somewhere. Or God may call you as a couple or as a family. But that is God's choice. He is sovereign. It's not for us to say, God, but I am single, I can't go. Or, but I have a family, I can't go. Don't look at who we are. Look at who God is. Well, after we got married in 1994, we waited upon the Lord for another 3 years. When he stirred both of us, we were at the time in Cardiff, but God stirred both of us to move on from Cardiff. We both responded to his call publicly in a mission conference in South Wales where we felt he challenged us to go to the mission world. However, my parents, who are non-believers, were very much opposing our calling. Don't get me wrong here. I love my parents. I totally, fully respect them, as we should, as children. But it was a very, very hard time for me. Although I have my own children, but my parents, they're still not believers yet. I hold on to the not yet. But because they don't understand, they were really opposing our calling. Well, this verse came to me. I took it from the Message translation. It's Matthew 10:37-39. Well-meaning family members can be your worst enemies. Sorry. If you prefer father or mother over me, you don't deserve me. If you prefer son or daughter over me, you don't deserve me. If you don't go all the way with me through thick and thin, you don't deserve me. If your first concern is to look after yourself, you will never find yourself. But if you forget about yourself and look to me, you will find both yourself and me. Please don't get me wrong. Respect and love your parents. Honor them. But if what they ask of you is against what God has asked of you, you have to look back again. Who is God? Not who are we. Who is God? And also, in Acts chapter 5, it says, well, P- Peter and the other apostles were told not to preach the word of God. But miraculously, the angel let them out of the prison, and they were standing in front of in the synagogue sharing the word of God. And when people asked them, "Why are you speaking?" And they said, "We ought to obey God rather than men. Well, God had commanded me to go and be his witness to the ends of the earth. And therefore, my only response is to go." God is faithful. As we prayed and waited upon the Lord, God proved himself to be the unfailing one. He did not change the situation, but he changed my attitude. I was actually feeling very guilty to start with because of my parents' situation. But he lifted it up. I no longer felt guilty and fearful, but I entrusted my parents to him, who's able to do the impossible. But as for me and my family, we continue to press on and prepare ourselves to mission. There's two verses while we were on the field that really speak strongly to me. The first one is in John 15. It talks about the vine and the branches. But one thing it really spoke to me was, it says there, "Apart from me, you can do nothing." So that's our situation, our relationship with God. Apart from God, you can do nothing. Yet, in Philippians 4:13, he said, "I can do everything only through him who gives me strength." So then again, it pointed me back to who is God. Well, the next question I had in my head was, what must I do then? That's a very good quote there from Samuel. I looked it up how to pronounce that. It's an American missionary, and he's nicknamed the Apostles to Islam. Zuwema, I think that's how he pronounced the name. He said, "The history of missions is the history of answered prayers." Do you believe that? The history of missions is the history of answered prayers. Well, what must I do? I've been praying, and God said, "Pray, and pray some more, and pray some more." That's when this really is a real blessing. Don't forget to get one of those or the apps. That's not promotion, but really is a very genuinely resourceful material. It's not just a book. In there is all the information for every single country in the world. And it's something that if you don't know where to start, when I said pray for the world, this is where you start. Well, looking back, prayer was key to the whole journey. And coupled with that, it is purely God's love and grace that spurred us on to our faith and action. Trust and obey. There's no other way. That's a hymn, remember? Trust and obey, that's no other way. What else? What must I do? Just trust and obey. But also, it says in James, "As for the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also our faith apart from works is dead." So if you just stop at that and take no action, that's dead faith. So what must we do? Go. Action. Pray is action. Living in Birmingham is a privilege. It's really multicultural in Birmingham. I love it every time I walk around in Birmingham, because where we live at the moment is quite a monoculture. But in Birmingham, you can meet people from all sorts of background. It's a real privilege to be here. So just go out to the street and just even pray silently when you see people maybe that you have read from the Operation World. Just pray. And maybe learn about, if you've got a chance, maybe some of you have friends or colleagues or students in your study place, workplace. Speak to them. Find out more about the cultures. But ultimately, God is expecting us to take action. Don't just stop at after the first two points. was naturally to ask where, but through prayers, God confirmed us Turkey is the land. We went for a short-term mission to spy the land, and God clearly said, that's the place to go. But I also put it here, the unreached people. Are you familiar with this term, unreached people? Basically, there's a people group among whom there's no viable indigenous community of believing Christians with adequate numbers and resources to evangelize their own people with outside assistance. So that's the group of people that God laid on our heart. And I think it's the group of people that maybe we should take notice. There are a lot of unreached people group out there. They have not a chance to hear the word of God, the gospel. And maybe God is asking one of you to go there. When? Timing is an issue, but God is never in a hurry. Can you imagine, visualize Jesus dashing around? It's just a picture that I cannot have in my imagination. God is never in a hurry, but he's always, always on time. God will tell you. And when it is his timing for you, for us, it will be fast track. I still remember the time when my parents were opposing. But we continue to prepare ourselves. But when the time comes, God did the amazing things. They just sent us a blessing before we went. It was really, humanly speaking, at the last minute. But imagine if we just waited and waited until our parents were ready and then take action. I don't think that pleases God. God knows what he's doing. If he's asked you to do something, just press on to do it and just entrust those dear people on your heart to him, and he will take consequence and he will take responsibilities. How? How can all these be? Looking back, it's not what we can do, but by his love and grace, he enabled us. But I think all he asks of us is to be available, to be willing. And one very simple word, but actually the key word, is to surrender. You can ask God, where do you want me to go? What do you want me to do? But if you don't surrender, he will not tell you. Because, you know, if you tell him, if he tells you, and if you don't do it, you're not ready. And I think that's how we can actually hear from him. Are you available? Or are you willing to make yourself available? Are you willing to hear from him? And are you willing to surrender? Well, that's a few photos of Turkey. That's the Turkey flag. I'll just briefly run through all this. It's the map of Turkey. It's a very big country. We started off in the middle in Ankara and then moved on to Istanbul. And that's our family 10 years ago. Some of you may ask, I've got children. What do I do? Do I wait for them to grow up before we go? Do we wait till we retired before we go? Well, God will confirm. But I think the key thing is, are you willing? Are you willing to surrender? Not just yourself, but your family. That's a church that we had the privilege to serve. I unfortunately, you can come back later to ask me questions if you have, but I don't actually have time to go through every single one. There are a group of young people in our church, all very vibrant. And that's where the Lord has blessed us, by bringing us to them so that we can bless them through the blessing that God has blessed us. Part of my ministry is to equip new workers on the field. That's when we were out for prayer walk one day. And also God had given me this tremendous privilege. By training and profession, I'm a pharmacist. So God has opened this amazing opportunity for me to teach in the university so that I have the opportunity to reach out to the students and the staff in the workplace. But if I don't mention this, this is not the reality. That's a sacrifice. There's always a sacrifice, but a sacrifice worth giving. These three dear brothers in Christ have been tortured and killed 7 years ago. The reason? Because they're Christians. But there's one quote from our founder, C.T. Studd. It says, "If Jesus be God and died for me, then no sacrifice can be too great for me to make for him." If Jesus be God and died for me, then no sacrifice can be too great for me to make for him. Yes, that's the reality, but that's back to surrender. And the sacrifice is not without effect. It's slowly, slowly we can see the city where they were murdered. There's a group of believers growing stronger and stronger because they have seen the power of God's love. Yes, it's hard for the family, but God's love and grace is sufficient. But as a result of this, the believers in that city are growing stronger and stronger. Well, that's the last slides I have. Are you willing? God invites each one of you here, not just Frank and Cindy, not just a selected few, but invites each one of you here. Remember that verse back in Genesis? God invites us to do what? To bless us so that we can be a blessing to others. And that's a very good reminder here from William Carey. Expect great things from God. Attempt great things for God. Because God is sovereign. It's not who we are, but who he is.
Thank you for sharing about how he came up. Sorry.
Can you hear me? Yes. Basically, you know, when we go back to that passage, Bible passage, actually God not only preparing Jesus to give us the salvation, he also prepared every one of us to be a witness to the ends of the earth. We are just one of the many who started this journey. And also he is calling every one of you to be in with a part in this great salvation plan. Actually, many years ago, my heart is talking about my burden is, oh, where can I share the gospel to people? When God called me after 2 months of my conversion, I was shocked by God because he's using Isaiah chapter 6 to call me. Who will you come? I say, I'm here. But at the same time, God slowly wake me up to see the world, the needs of the world. I still remember when I was sleeping, God woke me up, pray for Russia. In the 80s, pray for Russia, an Iron Curtain country, no gospel inside. Am I too small? Am I too young to pray for this? But when I start praying that night after night, I don't even have money to buy this Operation World. But his Holy Spirit really woke me up and asked me to pray. And then slowly, suddenly, things happen. When USSR broken down, and now there's a lot of Central Asian states, and you see some churches have been growing so much, and you've been part of it. At that time, I say, Lord, you're amazing. How come a little guy like me can involve in your plan and have privilege to pray for these people in this world? Will you be one of them who pray for the least unreached areas in the world? Do you want to join me to see the joy of things changing through prayers? I see a bigger picture. We can involve more. Also, the salvation plan is greater. Before that, many years ago, Western missionaries came to India, came to China for hundreds of years, hardly, with great difficulties. They share the gospel to brother and sister, and then wipe out persecution, Christian being persecuted. A lot of things happen. But then, nowadays, look at us, Chinese. Look at us. How many Christians nowadays among the Chinese? In mainland China, in overseas, there's a great salvation plan. And also, 2 weeks ago, I've been in Nottingham. At that moment, you know, some Christian told me, "Oh, can you speak in an evangelistic meeting there?" I say, "Okay, yes, let's pray." And then they came to me. Usually it's about 60 to 70 people around, university students around. And I say, "Yes, great, praise the Lord." And then on that date when we arrived, they said, "Oh, through Facebook, we have 100 respond. Most of them have never been to churches." But on that night, evening, 15 minutes before, 130 students sitting down. I'm afraid, because I usually talk very long, so, you know, don't worry about today. And, you know, I have a longer message. But what I saw is not my message. It's I saw in their eyes, they are very attentive. They want to see life. They want to see life in Jesus. And my heart was, "Wow, Lord, it's you who prepare these people to come to you. It's you who prepare these people." That night, 6 of them committed life to Jesus. And also, the serving students would love to see more of God's power in their life to witness among other people. And also, when I asked them, "Do you have a prayer?" I'm going to challenge you to encounter God through prayers. More than half of the participants came and put down their prayers to God. And even though after the meeting, they're still coming in to put those prayers into the box. There's a spiritual hunger outside. But who will go for God? Who will go for God? And also, I can see a deeper impact to the nations. All of you, I think you're coming from another culture. Either your family came from overseas, or you have been, you know, born in here, but also working, not just serving and, you know, having fellowship among Chinese brothers and sisters, but also working among the wider community, right? A lot of you, actually, one foot in one culture and another foot in another culture. What God has been doing to you? I still remember last year when Paul Hutchinson had been sharing in here. He was shocked by all of you. Do you know why he was shocked? He was shocked because how can I see such a big group of Chinese here worshipping the Lord together, and they are wholeheartedly worshipping the Lord? And he said, "Go and share the gospel to your friends, to your neighbor." Is God doing something in here? Is God calling you to witness to your friends and to your neighbor in the wider community, witnessing in your work, so that they can come to know Jesus? I think you are, and also a month ago, I've been in Germany with a lot of diaspora leaders around in Europe. And we've been talking about how can we, mobilizing, equipping other brothers and sisters so that they will go out and share the gospel among the wider community, whereas the Western community nowadays, you know how many Christians over there? Your young faith actually can impact to them. I said that because when I was inside my work environment, the first day the challenge is, I got an atheist, gay, principal officer, which is the same, you know, my colleague, put a book about understanding Islam into my drawer. And he told me, I don't think you should be a Christian. You can deny to be a Buddhist, that's no problem. But why should you become a Christian? And actually, we have so many years, we have a lot of good exchange. I know that this guy, he even come to a point in front of other major officers, come to me and ask, I give you 3 minutes. Can you tell me why you became a Christian? We work diligently. We work together. We have working lunch with a group of people to talk about policy development, strategic planning around the country. But I was given that chance. I'm sure all of you have a very special role in your workplace. But may God bless you, commission you to do that. Even though in university, you may say, I will be here for only a few years. But make use of that opportunities. There's no accident that you are here. And God can use you. And God will bless you. And you will be a blessing to the nations. In the beginning of that passage, they're saying people, far away people, people that are scattered around. Do you feel that you are one of them? Actually, or you are thinking, I'm one of them with a broken relationship. I'm one who are coming from a non-Christian background. Or I'm the one which is healed by God, or, you know, brought back by God. You are renewed. Will you share your experience to them? Even though the most humble experience you are, I think it will make an impact to the community. I took out 2 verses. It is too small a thing for you to be my servant to restore the tribe of Jacob and bring back those of Israel I have kept. I will also make you a light for the Gentiles, that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth. This is what the Lord says. In the time of my favor, I will answer you. And in the day of salvation, I will help you. I will keep you and will make you to be a covenant for the people, to restore the land and to resign desolated inheritances. Brother and sister, do you know nowadays in Britain, it's getting less and less Christians, fewer and fewer Christians? On the other side, among diaspora community, we are growing. In terms of statistics and other things, we are all growing. But what is the role we have nowadays? We have a heavier role. We can witness. We can reach out. And so that this nation will come to know the Lord again. So that this nation will revive. Revival among yourself is important. But be a light to your wider community is so important. God has made you like that. God has made you to have a multicultural background. God has made you to be his servant. Whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Our Lord is looking for us. Are you answering? I'm here. Send me. Shall we pray together? Almighty God, we thank you so much for gathering us together so that we can worship you in Birmingham. Lord, we can see the needs of the world. But Lord, release us, send us, so that we will be a light for the Gentiles, so that all the nation will rejoice together and worship you together. Revive us, Lord. Are there anything holding us back? May your Holy Spirit to talk to every one of us. May the Holy Spirit touch every one of us so that we will all long for your coming to share among the people about your good news. We may be shy. We may find that ourselves are very powerless. But Lord, use us, because when we are weak, your power will go through us, so that we can witness around. Lord, touch us, enable us, empower us, so that we will pray, so that we increase in our faith, and we will go according to where you want us to go. Lord, listen to our prayers. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.